It's time to get informed and inspired. This is Saturday Morning Live, sponsored by Asset Advisors LLC at Linden Sheet Metal on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham and KGMI.com.
Good morning, Whatcom County, Skagit County, Island County, any county out there, alive and awake today at Saturday Morning Live, where we're live, we're about liberty, and focused on you. My name is Chris Halterman. I am your host today. And before I get started today, I'm going to do a little common sense. I will tell you that I have two guests. The first half of the show will be Representative Robert Sutherland. From the 39th District, we're going to be talking about a unique forum happening down in Snohomish County on August 15th. And our second half of the show, I'm going to be talking to the infamous Dylan Honkoop about what kind of leadership do we need in Whatcom County and Washington State if we are going to actually save farming in our state and our county. Common sense. So, threatening more mask mandates, threatening more lockdowns. Why? The southern borders are wide open with virtually no monitoring for COVID or any other type of illness. Mandatory vaccinations, why? COVID is treatable. You got hydroxychloroquine, you got ivermectin, and many other inexpensive. They're not patented anymore, so Big Pharma's not going to make a lot of money off of them. Combine them with zinc ionophores. That's what those things are. With zinc, vitamin D, vitamin C, and other recommended doses for your age and your health, it has shown to be about 85% effective at preventing and treating against all viruses, inflammatory illnesses. But of course, you don't get to hear that because any of the scientists and doctors who are telling you that are highly, highly censored and suppressed, if not banned from Twitter, from Facebook, you name it. It's just all, folks, the censorship is off the charts. You know, if you want to really help things out, you could close the border to illegal immigration, okay, and do the checking that you're supposed to do to make sure the people coming across are healthy. Because right now, they're bringing them across the border, and they're bussing them and flying them all over the United States, dropping them off, in many cases, unbeknownst to the community itself. And then, hey, guess what? We have an uptick in people getting sick. What a shock. So let's open up everywhere. Get outside while it's summertime. Build up our natural immunity. Stop masking your children, which the science has already shown does more harm than good. You need to remove the restrictions on our doctor's ability to treat you prophylactically and preventatively, early treatment. You know, how many people actually really understand that the vaccination, the injection, whatever you're calling it, is an emergency use authorization? When they open up the little bottle that the vial comes in, the little paper that normally is about the size of your body with font that you can't read without a magnifying glass, it's blank, it's empty. And you are allowing your children, you want your children to be vaccinated with something that they have no idea what the long-term effects are going to be. You're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. And VAERS has really kind of stopped keeping it easy access public update on how many adverse effects and deaths have happened due to some relationship to these vaccinations. But in case you haven't heard it, because it's highly censored, the number of adverse effects, the number of deaths related to this are more than the last three decades combined. But you just keep on letting the government tell you differently. And as far as the Delta variant, go out there and go listen to people like Dr. Peter McCullough. Go find him. You can find him. Go listen to Dr. Malone, who is the actual inventor of the mRNA technology. Listen to his comments. Go listen to Dr. Richard Fleming, the Fleming Method. Look it up. Find out. Get off of listening to the news people at the moment and go out there and find the doctors whose voices have been suppressed. They're out there. They can help to relieve your tension and your fear. The Delta variant, yeah, it's more contagious, but it's less harmful. As these variants evolve, the virus becomes weaker. It's a natural process, and it's actually a good thing. Stop being fearful. Stop running around and hiding. You need to, at this time, this is the best time to get out there and get your natural immunity going. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We're going to be talking to Representative Robert Sutherland, and we're going to talk about an interesting project that he is part of, and I think you'll be interested in it. It's Saturday Morning Live. We'll be right back.
To be or not to be?
What's the question, Larry?
Why, to be cool or not.
Are you meaning literally or figuratively?
I have no idea what you just asked, but I'm asking, should I buy a new air conditioner for my house or that new camping trailer I've had my eye on?
Larry, I thought we've covered the whole happy wife, happy life thing before.
I know, but I can't afford both. And
no ifs, ands, or buts. Call Linden Sheet Metal. They have air conditioning or heat pump systems that fit most budgets, so you can have your cake and eat it, too.
I don't want cake, Daryl. I want to be cool, and I want a new camper.
Just call Linden Sheet Metal and hand me some aspirin.
Don't choose whether to be cool or not this summer. At Linden Sheet Metal, we have systems to fit most budgets and with great financing. There are low monthly payments and utility rebates available as well. Call today for your free estimate, but hurry. Summer is finally here. Linden Sheet Metal, serving the Northwest for more than 80 years.
Get vaccinated today. Protect yourself, those you love, and you'll even get a chance to win a $60,000 truck. That's right. One lucky Whatcom County winner will walk away with a $60,000 credit to use for the vehicle of their choice. If you're over 18 and received your COVID vaccine between June 1st and July 31st, you can enter to win online at winatruckwhatcom.com. Sponsored by Chuckanut Health Foundation, Bellingham Regional Chamber of Commerce, and the Whatcom County Health Department.
KGMI Connects is a new live show each weekday afternoon about our community and you.
I'm almost thinking the parliamentary form of democracy is better than ours. We always end up electing like a Democratic president and a Republican House and Senate, mm-hmm. or the other way around, yeah. and the result is nothing ever gets done.
Join us each weekday at 4 p.m. for KGMI Connects on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM, and KGMI.com.
The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KGMI or the Cascade Radio Group.
Welcome back. It's Saturday Morning Live, where we're live, we're about liberty, and focused on you. Today, I have asked Representative Robert Sutherland to come in and chat about a group that he is working with. And we're going to be talking about election integrity, and they're going to be holding a forum where they're going to be taking testimony on August 15th. So we're going to talk a bit about that and some of the reasons why he's gotten involved in this. Good morning, Robert. How are you doing? Is he there? Okay, I'm not hearing him. I almost heard him.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. All right. Good morning. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
That's okay. You're Robert, you're from the 39th District, which is down in the Snohomish area. Is that correct?
Yeah, Monroe all the way up to Cedar Woolley.
Okay. That's right. You've got that lovely highway. It must have been fun yesterday when it was about 100 degrees, just sitting in line trying to get through there.
Highway 2, Highway 9, 522, it's a mess, and they're not fixing it, so it's a shame.
Yeah. Anyway, so you are involved with a group that also includes people like Glenn Morgan, Seth Cashel, is it Representative Jim Walsh, and there's a couple of others, and you're going to be holding a forum on August 15th. Explain a little bit about what that is, please.
Yeah, well, we did. We put our heads together and we called for a public hearing. That's going to be August 15th, Sunday, 4 o'clock at the House Church in Snohomish. We put together a panel with Representative Walsh, Chase, Vicky Kraft, and I know I'm forgetting someone right off the top of my head. We've got Seth Keschel coming in to testify. He's a national speaker, an analyst with General Flynn and Sidney Powell and others. He's been on the tour going around sharing the data that he has on the different states, and he's got data for Washington he's going to share with us. Glenn Morgan, of course, he's been here doing great work for years. We're going to have him come in and speak as well. And besides expert testimony, we're going to open it up for people that have their own experiences in Washington, irregularities or whatever problems that they've had in the election system, whether they're not getting a ballot, whether the ballots aren't being counted, whether they're getting multiple ballots, whether they're here on visas and they're not citizens and they're getting ballots and being allowed to vote even though they're not a citizen. There's all kinds of stories I hear. We're going to open it up. We're going to have them testify, and we want to hear what's going on with our system. Do we have the bottom line? Do we have faith in the system? Is it working or is it not working? Can we improve it? Mm-hmm. So that's what we're hoping to dig down into and find out.
So you went. You were one of the people from Washington State that went down to Maricopa County. So, and the listening audience, if you're not aware, down there in Arizona, they have been doing what they call a forensic audit of the 2020 election in order to see whether or not there were any irregularities, any fraud, looking for ballots that are fraudulent. On fraudulent paper or, many, many different things. And you were down there to witness how they did this process. What was your opinion of that?
Yeah, we went down there a couple weeks ago, four weeks ago. We met with the CEO of Cyber Ninjas, and he gave us a good briefing and a detailed briefing of what they're doing, what their company's about, what their expertise is, how they're conducting the audit. They then gave us a tour of the audit itself on the floor of the facility down there in Mesa, Maricopa. And I came away feeling very confident with the systems they have in place, the checks and the balances, if you will. When they have people recounting votes, they have three people, and if all three do not agree, as they write the numbers down, then they stop. They have procedures to take care of that, to go back, count it again, make sure that, you've got everyone agreeing on the number of various ballots that they're counting. So they've got not only a system to kind of look at things and count, but to take care of if there's any miscounts. If someone gets the count wrong, they stop. They do it again. Mm-hmm. So we can have, I believe, great confidence in the outcome that they finally end up with. And I was very impressed. So we came home and we saw exactly what they're doing down there. I don't know that we're having the exact same issues that they're having down there. And that's part of the question. We don't really know exactly what's going on here in Washington State. Mm-hmm. Maybe we have the best system in the world and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. But there's not a constituent I talk to that feels that way. When I go to groups and I ask them to raise their hands, if you have any doubts about our election system, they all raise their hands. And if I ask them, I go, is there anyone here that has grave doubts? I mean, grave doubts that our system is not working. They all raise their hands. So some people ask, well, what kind of proof do you have, Robert? I don't have any proof. Well, here's what I have is a bunch of voters that pay for everything. They go to work every day. They pay the taxes. They pay for the government that's in place, and they have no confidence in our system, the way it's currently being run.
And so that began in 2004, didn't it?
I'm sorry, say that again?
That began in 2004 with the Rossi-Gregoire election.
That was, we didn't need evidence back then. That was long before I even got into politics. I'm a biochemist. I did cancer drug development, and I remember that election, and it was obvious. They stole that one. I mean, Dino Rossi won the election. He won the recount. He won the second recount. And you know, lo and behold, they're finding a box of ballots in the backseat of some car or a trunk or whatever it was.
There was a trunk.
We knew back then that they were found.
We found these in a trunk of a car. It's amazing. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. We know this has been going on for quite a while. So many of us are like me, where I just thought they wouldn't cheat. This is, you know, that's the one thing we have in America. It's a peaceful transition of power. In some countries, they do it with bullets and war and guns and all that. Here, we fill out a ballot. We wouldn't cheat. We're Americans. We don't cheat. But guess what? We're being lied to. We were fooled, and we were naive. They are cheating, and we caught them. Now,
one of the things that I noticed was that, and one of your speakers there is Seth Cassell, and he's been studying irregularities and of. Around the nation with regards to the 2020 election. And he has a map that shows areas that are basically colored red, yellow, white, you know, as far as potential for fraud. I mean, he has the entire west coast of Washington state bright red. And so it would be very interesting to find out why he believes that Whatcom, Skagit, Snohomish, King County, Pierce County, and others are ripe for showing potential irregularities for fraud.
Yeah, I met with him about a week and a half ago or so, and kind of wanted to get a feel for the data he has and what he's been doing. It's very interesting, and he's got some very interesting data for Washington State, too. So I invited him up to be one of our expert testifiers, if you will, to give us, to share with us the information that he has. But yeah, he. According to his data, there's a lot going on behind the scenes that we're unaware of, right. Having to do with registration rolls and having people on there that shouldn't be on there. I think they refer to it as like a credit card of potential votes if they need it. They can just dive into the pool and take put votes in from people on the rolls that really shouldn't be there. After the election's over, lo and behold, you have tens of thousands of people being removed from the voter rolls, so that you can't, you can't go back and find out who they are.
Right.
So there's
ghost
stuff
voters.
Going on that,
ghost
that the
voters,
average
right?
voter, you and I, don't understand.
Yeah, I think they call them ghost voters.
Yeah, ghost voters. They come in, they go, they're here, they're gone.
I have a question, though.
No reason that anyone should be changing our registration rolls. Once the election happens, that's part of the election results, and they're supposed to maintain those records for like 22 months.
Right.
You can't be changing anything, but they're changing them on us.
Right. I have a question for you, Robert. Robert,
go ahead.
So have you guys invited our Secretary of State Kim Wyman to your to this testimony? Will she be there? Will she be present to listen and to hear from the people?
That's a good question, actually, because the day I announced, or maybe the day after I announced we're going to have public hearings, I did get a call from her. Mm-hmm. I didn't recognize the number, so I didn't answer it. She left a voicemail, and then I called her back as soon as I could and didn't get her, so I left a voicemail. So we have missed each other on the phone. She's perfectly welcome. It's an open forum. It's a public hearing. Mm-hmm. So she's absolutely invited and welcome if she'd like to attend. I've said this many times, we're not trying to prove fraud. I'm a scientist. I don't go in there trying to prove something.
Right.
I want to get to the bottom of it. I want to find out the truth of the matter. Mm-hmm. If there are weaknesses in the system, let's find them, and then let's improve the system. If it's perfect, then it's perfect, and maybe we'll find that out too. But who here thinks that our election system is perfect? It's not going to happen. So we're hoping just to find out what's going on.
Right.
And if there's ways for us to fix that, then we want to fix it. If it's so rotten and to the core and there's cheating and there's massive fraud, which, I don't know if we'll find that or not. But if it is the case, we all want to know about that, including the Secretary of State.
Yeah, Washington State is one of the few states that has 100% mandatory mail-in voting. And the purpose that we were basically pushed this direction was to make it easier for lawful registered voters to vote and to encourage higher voter participation. But if your system is not getting the higher lawful voter you know, registered voters to vote, but you're getting, you have a higher degree of potential for fraud, then that's something that, the you know, you want, we want to give people confidence and faith in the system so that they will participate. If people don't feel like their vote matters, then they're not going to bother to take the time to vote.
I hear from a lot of people that they're done, they're not going to vote, the system's rigged, and that's just a shame because, again, a peaceful transition of power is how we do this here in America with our voting. It was, you know, it's supposed to make it easier, and then granted, it does make it easier. It's easy to fill out a ballot and turn it in. But here's the thing, like you said, it makes it easier also to cheat or to manipulate the system. One illegal vote, just one, let's say that vote, they vote different than I vote. That one illegal vote just canceled my vote. Talk about voter suppression, allowing votes to go in there that are not supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. From people that are not citizens, they're here on visas, work visas or student visas. They're here temporarily. They have no legal right to vote, nor the ones that have contacted me, they don't want to vote. They're like, Robert, I'm not a citizen. I'm not allowed to vote here. I'm just here as a visitor, right?
Mm-hmm.
One vote coming in that's illegal like that cancels my vote, or it cancels, the second one cancels your vote. The third one cancels someone else's. Mm-hmm. So that's voter suppression right there, when legal votes are being diluted down with illegal votes. Or legal ballots are not being counted correctly, or they're being tossed aside or something. So the system, we know it has errors. We know it has problems. Mm-hmm. The point of this public hearing and the testimony is to see if we can get to the bottom of it. Let's hear the stories. What was your experience in the 2020 elections? And we're going to compile the evidence, if you will, the affidavits, and then we'll put our heads back together and we'll say, well, you know, is it working pretty good? Should we just leave it as is? Or is there something else we need to do? And so we're going to make that decision after the hearing on the 15th.
As we close out our interview, so let's say we go through these testimonies and maybe, you know, some other things that need to happen. And it does appear that it would be very beneficial to have a forensic audit of the 2020 election. Can our Secretary of State make that happen on their own, or do we have to depend upon the legislature to do it?
One thing I'm not is a lawyer. I don't know. Every state, every county is different. Each county has their own election processes. So we have the state, and we have the 39 counties, and every state in the union is different. So it's a very complex system, actually. Who has the ultimate authority? I don't know.
Okay.
I would imagine.
From the Constitution, it's the state legislatures. So. But we've got to go very quickly. Again, where can people attend this forum for a testimony?
It's in Snohomish at the House Church on Bickford Avenue, 1820 Bickford Avenue.
August 15th, what time?
At 4 o'clock.
At 4 o'clock, August 15th, the House Church in Snohomish. Thank you very much. This is Saturday Morning Live. We'll be right back.
The Northwest Washington Fair is back. Experience the fair bigger and better. Four, count them, four extra days of awesomeness. And it all starts August 12th. Experience the new Peace Health Free Kids Play Area. Farming for Life Experience. Expanded Beer Garden. The Sampson Estates Wine Garden. Plus, over-the-top entertainment in the Bank of the Pacific Grandstand. With Nelly, Darcy Lynn and Friends, Old Dominion, Northwest Rockfest, and a party in the dirt country style. 10 full days to experience Northwest Washington Fair food and fun. Two nights of excitement-filled PRCA rodeo. Two nights smashing and crashing with the demo derby. More days to see the animals, barns, horse shows, crafts, and to experience breathtaking carnival rides. The canine stunt dogs and more. Experience the Northwest Washington Fair. So much fun it took four extra days to pack it all in. The Northwest Washington Fair. Now 10 days. Mark your calendars August 12th through the 21st. Concert and event tickets and special season passes on sale now at NWWAFair.com.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson for Asset Advisors. Planning your financial future, never easy. In today's ever-changing world, whatever the challenge, market corrections caused by a global pandemic, changing job markets, political or other economic uncertainty, wealth advisors Dick and Camille are here to help you paint a picture of your ideal life. Tax reform, the Secure Act, and the most recent CARES Act are creating big changes and opportunities if properly implemented. As partners with the Carson Group, Dick and Camille focus on fee-based solutions to help you pursue to your goals. You can call Dick and Camille at 733-1200 or go to their website, wealthwakeup.com, or join them on Wealth Wake Up every Saturday morning at 11 or Sunday mornings at 9 on KGMI.
This advertisement is for general information only and is not intended to provide specific advice, an endorsement, or recommendation for any individual. No strategy ensures success or protects against loss. To determine what is appropriate for you, consult a qualified professional. Advisory services offered through CWM LLC, a registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
A conservative take on issues important to Whatcom County and the Pacific Northwest.
These are people you've never seen. They never show up on Fox or CNN, and yet they wield most of the power.
Lars Larson, noon to 3 each weekday.
And I'm sure that many of them are very good people who take their jobs very, very seriously. There are other people within the bureaucracy, and they say, I don't have to listen to what citizens want.
On KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM, and KGMI.com. The latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
When it comes to your comfort and the air quality in your home, rely on the trained comfort specialists at West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electric with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Find them at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham and KGMI.com.
CBS News Brief. A warning from health officials that even vaccinated Americans can spread the Delta variant of COVID-19. Dr. David Kimberlin in Birmingham.
It is not the same virus as we had this past winter, January, February, or that we had last year. This is a much different entity, and it is much more infectious. It is hyper-transmissible.
A national eviction moratorium expires tonight, and millions of Americans are at risk. This woman in St. Louis.
It's going to be rough. It is really going to be rough.
Senators will return to the Capitol today in a rare Saturday session to work on that infrastructure plan. Here's correspondent Natalie Brand.
The timeline for a final vote is still uncertain. Speaker Nancy Pelosi has said the House will not take up the infrastructure bill until the Senate passes a separate Democratic budget resolution through the process known as reconciliation.
It's a $1 trillion infrastructure plan. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
Welcome back. It's Saturday Morning Live. We're live. We're about liberty, focused on you. And today we're going to focus on this part of the show on the future of farming in Whatcom County, all of our counties, and our entire state. Because whether you believe it or not, folks, they're packing it in. They're saying, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to sell. I don't care who buys the land. I got to get out of here. I got to pay off my debt. And if I'm going to continue farming, I'm going to have to go somewhere where I can farm. Because it's not happening in our state and in our county. Too many regulations, too many duplicative regulations, too much leadership that just is not understanding what it takes in order to successfully farm in our state. So I asked Dylan Honkoop. He is with Save Family Farming, and he is on top of this issue. So he has a lot of information, and we wanted to talk about what kind of leadership is it going to take in our community, in our state, in order to stop the exodus of farms and farming in our state. Good morning, Dylan. How you doing?
I am doing great. Chris, thanks so much for having me on the air with you this morning. I've been chronicling this more and more on my farming show, which happens, you know, the hour before this program, before Saturday Morning Live. And, you know, that show, you know, for folks who do listen to it somewhat routinely, they'll notice that in some ways it's gotten a lot more political. That's not necessarily because I want it to be a political show. You know, we used to do a lot more stuff about, hey, what's going on in the field, and we still do that from time to time. But the pressures just continue to mount, particularly on, you know, the farming community all over the state, and you're exactly right. I don't know how to get the message across to people more strongly that this is not a joke. This is not a political, political hyperbole. Farmers are in a position right now in this state where the leadership of this state, the activism in this state, and sadly, this is harsh, but the ignorance of the general public, which holds the political power, is getting to the point in this state where it is very difficult to survive and continue producing food. And it should be exactly the opposite of what people want here in Washington. We should all be about producing food closer to home, you know, reducing carbon footprints. If that's the big concern du jour, why aren't we focusing on that, encouraging that? You know, people may have, leaders, activists, whoever, may have various concerns on specific issues, but let's find a way to work with the farming community to achieve things that people want to see protected, this, that, and the other thing, without forcing them out of business. And that's the big breakdown, is a lot of people just assume, well, we can add this rule, add that rule, add this pressure, you know, create this chaos and that chaos for farming, and somehow they're still going to stay around and be able to survive under this increasing, every year, increasing pressure on what they do. There comes a breaking point. And I fear, as you describe accurately, I fear we're entering that range, you know, that zone of make it or break it for a lot of farming here in the state. And it's not a good trend. And if things don't turn around, particularly with the leadership in this state, it will begin to happen much more rapidly in the next few years.
Well, and it seems as though the leadership that we have currently listens to, you know, the squeaky wheel, okay? The well-paid activists who are out there promoting these regulations upon regulations upon regulations. It's like an onion, okay? And sometimes when you slice into that onion, it's rotten inside. And why? Because we've got too many layers on the outside. And by the time you get to the core of what is important, it can't survive. It's just being dissolved in an inordinate, like you said, ignorant way. We're all about wanting to have healthy food. I mean, nobody wants to eat food that isn't good for them. And so a lot of the things that I think that local farming has done a great job of bringing out lots of different ways in order to bring your food closer to home, you know, more local. But you remember even when they were trying to do that value-added thing here in Whatcom County, by the time the activists got done with it, they created something that made it so if you were a farmer, unless you were a really huge operation, which they pretty much said you couldn't do it then, there was no way to make it pencil out. And if you can't make it pencil out, you're just going to slowly die faster than you would have otherwise, as far as being able to farm.
You're exactly right, and your point about the squeaky wheel, Chris, is so on point. That's what we're seeing here in Washington, and it's the lack of listening. So that's, you know, first on my list. Your question is, what kind of leadership do we really need here in the state?
Yes, absolutely.
For farming to be able to survive. And, you know, I wrote myself a list of four different thoughts on this that I wrote down. They're all fairly related. And as I look at them, in some ways, I'm almost kind of embarrassed to list these things because they should be so obvious.
Okay.
They should be foundational.
Dylan? Dylan, I want you to be able to give that thought in total coherence, so I don't want to interrupt it. So I'm going to take our quick break. So when we come back, you will have plenty of time to share that thought, you know, without any interruption. Okay? This is Saturday Morning Live, and we're going to be right back with Dylan Honkoop talking about what do we need in leadership in our state, in our county, in our communities in order to actually save farming. Saturday Morning Live, we'll be right back.
Whether you're a home or business owner, when you need site prep or underground utility work, you need the team at Honkoop Gravel. Their dedicated professionals take pride in their work because they know there's no such thing as second best. Honkoop Gravel completes projects of all sizes, using the latest technology to guarantee accuracy from beginning to end. Their crews have been working hard to make Honkoop Gravel a successful business for over 40 years. So if you need site work, you need the team at Honkoop Gravel, in Linden or at honkoop.com.
With us is Mark Mydin from Capstone Physical Therapy, winner of Best of the Northwest. Mark, I understand you've been a hand therapy specialist for over 25 years. What exactly does a hand therapist do?
Our hands are critical to daily life, and when they get injured from trauma or overuse, our quality of life is affected. I work with doctors and surgeons to maximize hand recovery and get people back to life and the activities they enjoy most.
What types of injuries do you treat?
I've helped thousands of patients with tendonitis, sprains, fractures, dislocations, arthritis, basically anything that leads to hand pain or dysfunction.
Any tips for our listeners?
If you're experiencing hand or wrist pain or loss of function, seek attention early. Knowing what you have and what to do can lead to a faster recovery.
Capstone Physical Therapy is a preferred provider with Kaiser, Regents, Medicare, LNI, and most other insurance plans. Visit capstonept.com today to get back to life and the activities you enjoy most.
We don't have the usual traffic jams that they have in the big city, but sometimes things happen to snarl everything up. Depend on KGMI to keep you cruising to your destination with KGMI Traffic Alerts. We'll tell you where the trouble spots are. And if you see problems on the road, give us a call at 360-676-5464 so we can spread the word. KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM, and KGMI.com.
Good morning. It's welcome back because it's Saturday Morning Live. We're live. We're about liberty. We are focused today at this moment with Dylan Honkoop from Save Family Farming to talk about what kind of leadership is it going to take in order to actually save farming in our county, our communities, across our state. Because, folks, they are leaving. I know. I'm a broken record. I've been saying this. I started the show in June of 2012, and it was happening then. It's happening now, faster and faster and faster, and we want it to stop because, just like you, I love good, local, homegrown food. It is awesome, but it isn't free, and it's hard work, and if you want that, then you need leadership that understands that you want that. And they have to have regulations that actually make it better for farming, not make it so that they need to say, okay, do I survive? Do I go bankrupt? Or do I sell out now while I might be able to pay off my bills and have something to restart someplace else? So let's talk about it. Welcome back, Dylan. You have some thoughts on what it's going to take in leadership in order to make a difference for farming.
Absolutely. And just to underscore what you're saying, right now, I mean, I'm pretty deeply embedded in the local farming community here in Whatcom County. I have quite a few connections around the state as well. And I have never before been connected with as many people as I am right now who are actively looking at how they can exit this state. How can they exit Whatcom County? How can they find an operation, a place that is actually welcoming to them and appreciates what they do and is a place where their business can survive, where their bottom line is somehow protected from what feels like an unmitigated attack oftentimes on people's ability just to economically survive. That's a big part of the picture here. You know, so many people have different ideas of how farming should be done, this, that, and the other thing. And there seems to be this odd mentality that farmers shouldn't ever make any money. Anytime a farmer makes a little bit of money.
Or no, they think they're rich. They think they're all, everybody is just, is got money coming in. Where their wealth is, and you and I both know this, it's in the land, okay?
Yeah.
But if you can't use the land for what creates the wealth, then you really don't have much.
That's exactly right. And you know, we could probably do a whole show on the economics of farming and how it's different than a lot of other, you know, people put their cookie cutter approach on farming, how they think things should be managed economically from a totally different plane, you know, a totally different paradigm of wealth and where that exists. It works different in farming. To get to my list, though, Chris, like I was saying before the break, I'm almost embarrassed to list these because they're, on one hand, they're so obvious, and they don't. It's not just about farming. This applies to anything. But mm-hmm. the first thing on my list is the most obvious, but it's the biggest thing and the biggest problem right now. I have a couple of examples to underscore, but the point is we need leaders that listen. I mean, leaders not listening right now is endemic. It's just shocking to me as I get more and more involved in the advocacy work that I do here at Safe Family Farming, how little people in positions of power, whether it's the politicians that are elected by people or the bureaucrats that are put there by administrations, et cetera, they listen so little to a broad range of voices. They seem to have their minds made up. And my other points on the list are, you know, very connected to this. But a great example, just recently, an interview by shipwa.org, with Representative Alex Ibarra from Quincy. He's a third-term Central Washington legislator, very connected, obviously, with the community there, the farming community, the farm worker community. As a Hispanic man, he has a lot to share and a understanding of that community.
He has institutional knowledge. It's something that they should be reaching out for and tapping immediately.
Exactly. And he says, really, I mean, he talks about a few different issues, and he talks about helping farm workers get the COVID vaccine and being involved in, you know, different committees, in the Center for Latino Leadership, working with a lot of different. This isn't just some radical. This is a guy who's very well plugged in, very knowledgeable. And then speaking of agricultural issues, which he comes from a heavily agricultural area in Central Washington, he's talking, and he's talking about farm workers here. He says, over the last 3 years, I'm quoting from the interview that Shift Wad did. He said, over the last 3 years that I've been a legislator, almost every agriculture bill passed hurt and did not help Eastern Washington farm workers, not farms even, but farm workers, the people that activists are often trying to help. Then this is the disturbing sentence here. He said, not one time, remember his background, who he is. He brings so much to the table. He says, quote, not one time in 3 years has anyone reached out to ask my opinion on upcoming bills, even though I live in the middle of farm country, I'm a former farm worker, and a Mexican-American. So, you know, a lot of these loud voices, and that's another one of my points here, as you kind of alluded to as well, we need leaders that aren't misled by these few voices that make the most noise. It feels like those folks have their minds made up.
Well, and the thing is that I posted that article on my Facebook page, and one of the trolls, who I don't allow to comment anymore because I know that he's totally, you know, he's just a troll. And it's like, it's like, oh, you know, I saw that he shared it, that you can't prevent him from sharing it. But, you know, I could see that his comment was that we need to put more pressure on our friend in Quincy. It's like, wow, isn't that great? I mean,
that's another part of this, Chris. That's excellent, because it shows that there is a machine mm-hmm. behind a lot of this mm-hmm. with specific goals that they're trying to achieve. Mm-hmm. They believe deeply in rules for radicals, and one of the key issues there is they believe the end justifies the means. These are people, again, the few, the loud voices that are part of a political machine
to achieve their social justice ends. Mm-hmm. They believe the ends justify the means, and they will say whatever it takes to do that. And they will silence other voices. In the name of diversity, they will silence anyone who doesn't agree with them.
That's right.
In the name of open-mindedness, and that's what they'll shame everybody else for, not being open-minded, yet they are the most closed-minded people you will run into, and they have an outsized, and that's such an understatement, an outsized impact on the leadership of this state, whether it's the folks in the legislature, or they're also deeply embedded and have unbelievable relationships behind the scenes with the folks in our agency. So to see some of the things play out, like the recent debate over overtime pay and the overtime exemption for agriculture in this state, it was bizarre, the things that would happen in the face of evidence completely to the contrary.
Right.
We had farm worker after farm worker after farm worker saying, we don't actually want this. We understand that you think, you know, from your ivory tower in Seattle and Olympia that you think this is a good thing. But here we are, the farm workers that you say you're trying to help. We don't want this. This is hurting us. They're still saying it. And those voices
are
silenced.
They're silenced. They're actually even silenced. It's amazing how effective they are at actually silencing and not giving them the time to even speak publicly about all of this. And so, yeah you're absolutely right. So let's move on what kind of leadership, you know, beyond listening, because one would think that as a representative, an elected representative to represent everyone in whatever district or, you know, congressional area that they have been elected to, that they are supposed to listen to everyone. But what else do we need in leadership?
Well, it's also related to that, but we need leaders who have the guts to make decisions not just entirely based on where their political campaign contributions come from. Again, something that applies not just to the situation with farming here in Washington State, but everything.
Everything.
We've gotten so far, and I realize that is still a political reality, but it has gotten so bad when you have, and again, to reference this debate, battle, whatever you want to call it, over overtime pay for farm workers in the state, you could see one of the big reasons why these actual farm workers, people actually being hurt by this, who actually really cared and were living the life, the reason they weren't being listened to was because there were other, you know, there was other money, other pressure at play. And that connects with another point, too, is we need leaders that don't use our state's actual issues as their kind of proxy, you know, pressure point to further their social justice goals.
Mm-hmm.
And that has become so rampant where they really are playing a different game. And
well, they've wordsmithed it, though, Dylan. They've wordsmithed that social justice is about mob rule. Equity is not equality, but they're trying to make it sound like equity is equality, and it is anything but that. Equity is about, I am going to take from one and give to another in order to force equitable outcomes. And that was never in the intent of the foundational principles of our nation and our state.
Yeah.
And people have to understand that wordsmithing is destroying their ability to understand what's being communicated to them.
And I think this point that I bring up is one of the reasons why the farming community in this state is among the hardest hit, because in our current culture, there are a lot of these, air quotes, social justice issues that are connected to our food, whether it's about animals, whether it's about the environment, whether it's about workers and labor, you know, people involved in producing our food. Those are all pet, you know, areas for really hardcore activists to try to exact social change. And you're exactly right. On each one of these issues, they wordsmith it to try to sound like you know, they're the ones protecting the public good, and people need to be aware. They'll play it like they're the little guy fighting the big evil, you know, whatever it is, and, you know, in farming, the big evil farmers, or I don't know, the farming industry. Oh, it's terrible. When reality is, you know, they're better funded than anybody. They have, yes, you know, they have lawyers, they have PR teams, they're doing incredible amounts of social media, and they are out there spinning left and right, misinforming people. And, you know, here in the farming community, we sit back and we're blown away that they're trying to say, oh, we're the big guy, and they're just the little voice that's, you know, right, almost being stamped out. Like,
if you look back at Track the Money, that money goes into some very, very wealthy, well-funded, huge pockets. And the point that I'd like to make is that your health and your longevity and everything going on is highly dependent upon having healthy food and a good supply and healthy water. And it just seems to me that we are on the road to destroying all of that, which means that all of us are going to have shorter lifespans, and we're going to basically have definitely a less, our quality of life will have been affected immediately just by not having those two integral things protected.
Absolutely. And you talk about food and where it's grown. If it's not possible here, it's going to be grown somewhere else. And so, you know, do people want to be eating food grown in China, or do they want to be eating food grown here? That's
okay, so wrap it up quickly because we're running out of time. Anything else what we need to look for in getting good leadership?
No, I think we're on the right track here with what we've already talked about. I think this is very important right now. Farming oftentimes right now is at the tip of the spear politically,
right,
and people need to pay attention.
We're signing off Saturday morning.